Take your Bibles and turn with me to the third chapter of John. I am going to read, I know it's long, but I'm going to read the first 18 verses. What happens in the new birth, or has the new birth happened to you? Last week I preached a sermon called You Must Be Born Again. Now today I'm going to ask a simple question. Has the new birth, have you been born again? Has it happened to you? And it must. You must be born again. You say, well, I don't know about all that stuff. Well, I'm just telling you, either now you'll accept that and you'll come to know Jesus Christ, or one day in eternity you'll wish you had. Has it happened to you? John chapter 3, the Bible tells us a story about a man that it had not happened to yet. I thank God that it did happen to him eventually, but it hadn't happened to him yet. The Bible talks about this man. It says there was a man of the Pharisees. His name was Nicodemus. He was a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night. He didn't want people to see him. He was secretly coming to Jesus. And he said to him, Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. And Jesus answered and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? Now, he was right about that, but that was not what Jesus was talking about. Jesus answered and said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, some people mistakenly think that it's talking about water baptism. I don't have time to refute that this morning, simply because I've got too much else to say today. But it is easy enough, if you'll just look carefully at the Word of God, there's nowhere else there's any allusion to what's taking place being part of baptism by immersion. If you're saved, you do need to be baptized to obey God. But I'm going to leave that discussion off here. I believe that that verse clearly means one of two things, and it probably is a reference to both. One, I believe he's talking about a physical birth and a spiritual birth. Jesus said, unless man is born of water and of the Spirit, we know our physical birth, the baby is inside the womb and the baby is surrounded by water. Before a woman gives birth, her water breaks and then she gives birth. And so I believe he's talking about, unless one is, you got to be born physically. Everybody has been born physically. I know there are a few people you think might have been hatched, but really, I believe everybody was born physically, and yet being born physically is not enough. You have to also be born spiritually. So I think he's talking about a physical birth and a spiritual birth. The rest of the context is going to, you would find that is very much in the context of the rest of the passage. Now, it may also mean, or it may point to the fact that all of us have to have a cleansing. We have to have forgiveness of our sins. We have to have our sins, as the Bible describes, washed away. But now they're not washed away in baptism. They're washed away by the blood of the Lamb. And we're cleansed by the sprinkling of the water of the Word. In other words, God's Word comes into our heart. We are saved and washed clean from all of our sins by faith through the blood of Jesus Christ. And then the Word of God keeps on cleansing us. So we do have to have that kind of cleansing, and we do have to have a spiritual new birth. But I say that just to move on, really, because as much as I could make a sermon out of that, That's not today's sermon. Verse 6 says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Again, fitting right into what I just said. Every one of you have been physically born. I mean, you're walking around, you're physically alive, you give evidence of not being dead. Most of you are still breathing. Some of you may be gasping, but you're still breathing. And so you're physically alive. But you must be born of the Spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So we got to have a fleshly birth, and then we have to have a spiritual birth. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again." Then he uses an analogy talking about the mystery of the new birth. I want you to know that, listen, folks, being born again is a mystery. I mean, what happens to you and I? You know, some people say, you know, I don't even believe in the new. How do you see the new? How do you know someone's been born again, my friend? You may not know if someone's been born again, but my friend, the Spirit of God changes a person. And not everybody that says they're born again are born again. There's a multitude of people that say, I am a born again child of God. They're no more born again, my friend, than the devil. That's true. Just because you say you're born again doesn't mean you're born again. You're born again when the Spirit of God comes and makes you alive, changes you by the power of God, gives you faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that is a life-changing faith. If that's not happened to you, it's because you're not born again. There are lost people that point to church people as the hypocrisy that says, well, if that's what it's like, I don't even believe it's real. Well, my friend, you just let hypocritical lost people that say they're church people, you just let them send you to hell if you want to. I'm not going to let them send me to hell. You must be born again. Nicodemus was a religious man, but he wasn't born again. Verse 8 says, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who's born of the Spirit. Now, when I come back from vacation, I'm going to preach on that verse. I'm excited about preaching on that verse. But just let it be known today, God is comparing the spiritual new birth or the Holy Spirit of God to wind. 3 o'clock in the morning, my little cell phone went off and says, you know. And then there's a little sign that comes up there that says, Ashley County is under a tornado warning. I don't believe they gave people over there on Highway 82 much warning. When I heard the warning, I could hear the sound of a tornado already. The warning went off and Karen says, Robin, that's the sound. And she said, that's the sound they talk about. And I said, no, don't worry about it. She ran and got in the hallway. She said, aren't you coming? No, I ain't worried about it. It was the sound. Thank God the sound didn't do as much damage as it could have been. But folks, the wind comes and goes. I mean, we can say nowadays, you know, the wind's coming out of the southwest and it's going toward the northeast, you know. We can say it's out of the northwest and it's blowing toward the southeast. We can say things like that. But my friend, no one sees where the wind comes from. You can see the evidence of it. You can even get instruments that can tell you which direction it's coming and going. But the wind comes from where it comes from. It goes to where it goes, and nobody can tell it where to go and come. I'm telling you, you could have told that tornado the other night. You said, now, you turn around and go yonder way. And my friend, you know what? It's going to just do what it wants to do. I mean, God's the only one that can tell the wind what to do, not you and me. Well, the wind is mysterious, folks. Even when it's blowing, you can't see it, but you can feel it. I mean, when it's 20 degrees outside and you're trying to duck hunt over in the water hole and the wind's blowing at 35 miles an hour, you can feel it, but you can't see it. The Spirit of God, my friend, is working. And you need to pray and ask God that the Spirit of God works on you. You say, I don't know what to pray. Well, let me tell you this. If you're an unbeliever, if you have doubts, if you're an atheist, if you're an agnostic, if you deny openly and freely that there's any kind of a God, or if you say, well, there may be a God, but I don't believe in the God like you teach, or I don't believe in Jesus, my friend, well and good. But I'm going to tell you, the smartest thing you'll do is start praying and saying, God, if you are real, please show. Now, that is a pitiful prayer, but it's better than no prayer. My friend, you want to get brave, you could honestly say, God, I just don't know and I just don't understand. But God, if you're real, I'd like to know you. Please, God, don't skip me. You ought to pray that. Because, my friend, the wind is very mysterious, even your presence here. You know, you gave this reason, you can give that reason for being here. But I'm going to tell you, God has a reason for you to be here. And God may be starting to turn your heart to recognize Him. Or God may be giving you another chance to hear about Him. And another opportunity for you to say no to Him. Or another opportunity for you to say, I don't even want to know if you're real. And my friend, the record is just increasing. And one of these days, God is going to be glorified when He pours out His wrath on you. God is not just glorified by forgiving and saving sinners. God is glorified by judging people who said no to the Son of God. But oh, my friend, listen to me. God's able to save you. Say, your dad, you know, say, I'm a skeptic. You're saying, well, I don't even know to believe in God. Listen to me. I don't understand how that could be. I've never been that way. There were 17 years of my life I was lost. There was 17 years of my life that I didn't want Jesus. I didn't want to change. I didn't want to be saved. I didn't want to start going to church. I didn't want to start living for God. I was happy with the way I was. But I thank God, God wasn't happy with the way I was. And God put people in my life, and God put a church in my life, and God put a pastor in my life, and I eventually got under the Word of God. And God began to break my heart. And one day I just said, God, I want you as the Savior and Lord of my life. Amen. I thank God He did. God changed everything about me, and I'm not unhappy about any of the change He made. I'm happy about it all. Thank God that God changed me. I'm telling you, I wouldn't go back to the way I was for anything. Thank God for His change. Nicodemus said to Him, how can these things be? And Jesus answered and said to him, are you the teacher of Israel and do not understand these things? Are you one of the spiritual giants in the kingdom of Israel, and you don't understand? Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and testify of what we've seen, and you do not accept our testimony. Here was a guy as smart as anybody. He was as smart as anybody. He would have been in the top percent of everybody in Israel. And he didn't believe anything about Jesus, except that Jesus obviously was of God. And that's all he believed. I mean, you could say, I guess he was an agnostic. He believed in God, but he didn't believe in Jesus. And now he knows that there's something about Jesus, but he's not who Jesus says he is. He couldn't be. I don't want to believe that. That doesn't make sense to me. But my friend, even though it didn't make sense to him then, it made sense to him pretty soon. Why? because he was dead spiritually. And God woke him up. He said, if I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And what Jesus was saying was true. You know, you don't understand. You don't understand spiritual things. So why tell you these spiritual things? My friend, if you're lost, if you've never been born again, if you've never been saved, you cannot understand the good news of Jesus Christ unless God the Holy Spirit is waking you up. But thank God, God the Holy Spirit can wake anybody up. Oh, there's so much good news. There's so much good news. God the Holy Spirit can wake anybody up. Jesus said, no one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And that's just a picture of Jesus dying on the cross for our sins. He says, so that whoever believes will in him have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Now listen to verse 18. He who believes in him is not judged or condemned, has not been sentenced. He who believes in him is not sentenced to condemnation. He who does not believe has been judged already or has been condemned already. You've already been sentenced because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Last week I spoke to you that you must be born again. Because if you're not born again, you'll never see the kingdom of God. You'll never be a part of the family of God. You'll never enter into heaven. But you will spend eternity separated from God in hell. You must be born again. You don't need to be more religious. You don't need to find a better religion. What you need is the power of God to come into your heart and give you brand new life as you put your faith in Jesus Christ. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit about the new birth. If you're born again, you've had a new birth, okay? Can we? Is that okay? I might speak to it about being born again or say the new birth. Obviously, if you're born again, you have a new birth. You've had a physical birth, and now you've had a spiritual birth. Before a person has a new birth, you understand we are spiritually dead. You're born again. You're given a brand new life because you are spiritually dead. You must understand that if you are not saved, if you've not been changed by the power of God, if you've not put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord of your life, and that has changed you forever, if that's not happened to you, you're still spiritually dead. Physically alive, but spiritually dead. Secondly, there's something else about you that's true. You are legally guilty before God's law. Legally guilty. That means you have broken the law of God and you're already condemned for it. Waiting for execution, if you will. Waiting for your sentence to start being carried out. If you're physically alive and you're not spiritually alive. If you've been physically born, but you have not been spiritually reborn, listen to me, you are condemned already. That's what verse 18 says. If you have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God, you're spiritually dead and you're guilty of breaking the law of God. God has already pronounced sentence upon you. God's, you're not waiting around till one of these days to find out if God's going to let you go to heaven or send you to hell. You're already on the road to hell. You're already condemned. You're already judged by God because you've not believed on the name of the Son of God. Last week I spoke to you about a man named Floyd Hamilton. Floyd Hamilton was the leftovers of the Bonnie and Clyde gang when Bonnie and Clyde were killed down in Louisiana. Floyd Hamilton and his brother Raymond continued robbing banks and robbing other things all across the country. Then his brother was captured and Raymond Hamilton was put to death while Hattie Rankin was praying with his mama and praying also for Floyd Hamilton. Floyd Hamilton, after his brother was put to death I don't know if it was the gas chamber or electric chair or lethal injection, but he was put to death for his crimes against our land. Floyd became public enemy number one. In all of the United States, he was the most sought after criminal in the world, but God changed his life in prison. Someone shared the gospel with him. The beautiful and amazing and wonderful thing about the gospel of Jesus Christ is the Holy Spirit of God wakes people up. He gives them a new birth that gives them faith in Jesus Christ, and they're born again. And when they're born again, they're changed. If you have an unchanged, born again person, they're not born again. I don't care what they say. When the Spirit of God regenerates you, it's different. If the Spirit of God saved you when you're five, I'm telling you, my friend, God can do that. Hallelujah. Thank God he saved some before they sin so much. But my friend, that five-year-old is still a changed five-year-old, and his change will show up more as the years come as they did in the year that year. But my friend, God doesn't just save young people. God can save the most vile, the most filthy, the most evil, the most unimaginable person in this world. And God can save young people that are hooked on drugs. Hallelujah, brother. God can save people that are hooked on alcohol. God can save people out of witchcraft. God can save people out of the demonic world. He's God. I got news for you. It isn't any more difficult for God to save the worst drug addict in the world than it is for God to save your sweet little six-year-old. Now, that don't sound right, does it? There's a miracle in the Bible that I can tell right now. I'm not going to finish my sermon. But there's a miracle in the Bible that is just crazy. You remember the story about Lazarus, right? Someone sent Jesus word that Lazarus was real sick and was going to die. And the Lord Jesus waited, didn't take off running to get there in time to save him. Because Jesus knew that, you know, it wasn't hard for him to save him before he died or save him after he died, right? So Jesus lets him die and he was dead. How many days was Lazarus dead? Wasn't it four? When it was three or four, but I believe four is right. I didn't go back and look it up because I knew y'all'd know. Lazarus had been dead 4 days. He had been dead long enough that the women said, when they started talking about, you know, roll the stone away, they said, oh, whoa, wait a minute, he stinks. Man, listen, this guy is smelling by now. Don't roll that stone away. And Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And a man that was decaying physically came out of there and started shaking off the grave clothes. And he got up, walked, and went back to life. Why did God do that? To show you nothing's hard for God. All right, let's say he'd been dead 4 days, right? How dead are you when you've been dead 4 days? Are you more dead when you've been dead 4 days than you were dead when you'd been dead 1 day? I mean, if you're dead 1 day or if you're dead 4 days, you're dead, right? But now if you've been dead 40 days, that's more dead, right? Surely 40 days dead is worse than being 4 days. No worse? Same thing. So you mean to tell me that it would be no more difficult for Jesus to make someone that was dead 4 days alive than if Jesus had made them alive after just four? Are you with me? Where am I going with this? My friend, Jesus is showing you and I that nothing's hard for God. And if Jesus can make a man that's been dead 4 days come to life, I'm going to tell you another secret. One of these days, all of those that have been dead and all of those that have been in the grave are one of these days Jesus going to make them alive, physically raise them from the dead. Folks, now listen to me. If God can do that, your old buddy that you've given up on still can be born again. Y'all with me? Mama, your son can be born again. Mama, your grandson can be born again. Mama, that fella that you've just lost all hope in, listen to me. Quit losing hope. It's not difficult for God. It's difficult for them. It's difficult for you, but it's not difficult for God. It's not hard for God to save anybody. It's not hard for God to save a skeptic. It's not hard for God to save an agnostic. It's not hard for God to save an atheist. My friend, when the Spirit of God moves and quickens a man, God can give a man who's been a doubter faith, and that man can put his faith in Jesus and be saved forever and ever, just like the Apostle Paul. If you've not been born again, you're under eternal condemnation, you're spiritually dead, your condition before God is that of a convicted criminal that's going to be sentenced to eternity in hell. You are spiritually dead, guilty of breaking God's laws, condemned, waiting to be punished in hell if you're not born again. And even though you can't do anything about it, God can. God causes us to be born again. God can cause you to be born again. I want to show you in the Scriptures that, and I'll quit. I'll quit a third of the way through my sermon, so you give me your attention just for a minute. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. I'm having trouble turning pages today. I should have just quoted it to you. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. God gave him life. John chapter 1, just a few verses over from where we started, John chapter 1, verse 12 through 13 says, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. Now, people get that backwards. This is what, when a lot of people read this, this is what they read. As many as received him, he gives them the right to become children of God. But that's not what he's saying. It says, as many as received him, to them, he gave the right to become children of God. In other words, when God gives you the right to become children of God, then you receive him. It is a work of God. God does something in your heart that makes you able to become his, and you put your faith in him. Give God the glory. And thank God it is his glory. Thank God he can do it. You can't. You're dead spiritually. You can't, but he can. Thank God he can. When you're crying over a son that's lost, when you're crying over a daughter that's gone into the deepest depth of sin, thank God he can give them the power to become his children. Now look it on. Even to those who believe in his name, he gave you right to become the children of God. Who? Even to those who believe in his name. 13. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. In other words, it's not a physical birth. It's not human initiated. It is God created. Now, some of y'all don't like that. You want to be in control of everything. I'm going to tell you a little secret. You're not in control of everything. In fact, you're going to find out you're not in control of anything. But I'm going to tell you, you can raise your hand in thanksgiving to God and say, God, you're in control of everything. And my son or my brother who has chosen a path of sin, God, he's not above your power. God, wake him up. God, change him. And God can. Amen? God can change him. First Peter chapter 1. I want to give you one more verse because I know that's, I'll tell you what, sometimes we just don't understand what God's word really says. And I think it helps me. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Write it down if you don't have time to get there. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy, help me read it, has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Folks, I'm telling you, I was a lost 17-year-old teenager living my life like a lost 17-year-old teenager wanted it to live. And my friend, I had no desire to repent of my sin and come to God. But thank God, God did something in my heart. And God began to stir my heart, and God began to cause me to worry about my sinful condition that I'd never worried about before. And God convicted me of my lostness and my need of a Savior, and I've come down the aisle in front of everybody, a 17-year-old athlete who really thought he was something. And I knelt down on my knees and asked God to have mercy on me and save me, and God changed me that day. I thank God. God can cause anybody. God can cause anybody. God can cause the worst derelict to come to Jesus. And God can cause a 5-year-old to come to Jesus. I'm just glad God can. And I'm glad God does. And I'm glad God will. And if God tarries, the millions that have already come will only be part of the other millions that are still yet to come. Until Jesus comes again, God will still be saving sinners. And God will cause us to be born again. And as the work of the Spirit of God comes in our life, we will get faith in Jesus Christ, what he did for us on the cross. And it'll change us forever. Why? Because we're born again. We're born of God. It's not a man birth, it's a God birth. Thank God. Amen. Well, listen to me, folks. I wanted to spend more time on faith. Listen, folks. Yes, it is God-caused. Yes, it's God-initiated. Yes, it's the Holy Spirit's work. But my friend, you'll not be saved apart from faith in the Lord Jesus. And listen to me. If you have really repented of your sin and put your faith in the Lord Jesus, if you don't understand all the other stuff I said, hallelujah, you're still saved. You're not saved by understanding everything the preacher says. You're saved by the Spirit of God working in your heart to give you faith in Jesus. And you put your faith in Jesus. And the Bible says, if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll be saved. Listen, do you hear that wonderful, amazing promise? If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. What else you understand? I don't know. You understand the gospel. He died on the cross to pay for your sin. And now you have faith in him. Thank God. You have faith in him. Put your faith in him and confess him and be changed forever. And don't worry about it if you call yourself a Free Will Baptist, a Methodist, a Pentecostal. Now, I happen to think that there is a difference, and I happen to think that I'm in the right one. But my friend, faith is in Jesus, and he's the one that saves. But the question is, do you have life-changing faith in the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart? And if not, you're spiritually dead, condemned, sentenced on your road to hell. But you're not hopeless, nor anyone else that you know is hopeless. If you leave here saying, I don't believe a thing that preacher said, I can still say, you're not hopeless. God can save you. And I pray that he does. Have you had a life-changing new birth? And you've put your faith in Jesus Christ to save you? If you haven't, I invite you to do that today. Will you come and say, Lord Jesus, forgive me. Lord Jesus, save me. Lord, I'm lost. I trust you. I give my life to you, Lord Jesus. God, I just trust you today. Save me. And my friend, he said, whoever calls on the name of the Lord like that will be saved. Let's bow our heads. You've never put your faith in the Lord Jesus. You've never surrendered to him. You're still doubting. You're still not confessing. You're still in your sin. Would you at least say, God, I don't know, but God, if you're real, please let your Holy Spirit start speaking to me and show me, Lord. God, I will honestly look. If you will honestly help, I will honestly look. Lord, help me to come to know you. God, I have doubts and I have questions, but God, I will honestly look if you'll honestly show me. Maybe the Spirit of God is prompting you and you say, Pastor, I believe in Jesus. I want him to be my Savior. I want him to be my Lord. God, I take you today as Savior and Lord. Would you come forward and say, Pastor, I give my heart to Jesus today. Would you come? As Miss Karen plays, would you come right now? I'm not going to tarry the invitation. Would you come? Preacher, I'm lost, but I want to be saved.